In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is this right here. Luisa, the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 3. We're on page 8, middle of the page, volume 36, 420, 1938. Therefore, Luisa, the one who lives in my divine will, can say, as the angel said to the holy women on the way to the sepulchre, he is risen. He is not here anymore. The one who lives in my divine will can also say, my will is not with me any longer. So it could be, my will is not with me any longer. It is risen in the fiat. So the one thing that God wants is he wants us to let go of the human misery, the human will, to embrace the divine will. So Jesus says, if you're living in this, you can actually say, my worry, my fear, my anxiety, my complaints, my negativity, my sin is no longer with me. It's gone. I'm now risen again. I've received the resurrection of Jesus, and it is risen again in the fiat. And if the circumstances of life, the opportunities of suffering surrounded the creature as if they were looking for her will, she can answer, my will is risen again. It is not in my power anymore. So, like when you look at the six steps that Our Lady gave to Luisa in the first 6 days of Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, the very first step is, I will sacrifice my human will in honor of God. So you have to begin to picture sacrificing your human will. And what does sacrifice mean? It means to kill it, to destroy it. So you have to picture somehow your human will, your human misery, that we're living in, is I'm not going to give this life anymore. And the second step is I will empty myself of the human will. So it's like, you kill it, you drain all the blood out of it. You've got to make sure that it'll never have life again. This is why he says, Luisa says, the soul can answer, Luisa could say, my human will is risen again. It is not in my power anymore. It's totally gone for me. So therefore, there is no way that you can worry about anything. There's no way that you can be upset about anything. Everything is fiat. Everything is in the fiat of God. And the fiat of God is the peace, the joy, and the happiness of God. I possess in exchange the most holy divine will, and I want to cover with the divine will's light all things around me. So what happens is we begin to enter into the sun of the eternal will, the S-U-N of the will of God. It's a whole new light. It's not just the light of the sun in the sky. It's to enter into the divine light of God. And again, the divine will is the divine life, the divine love, the divine light of God. And that's what God wants us to enter into. No longer in our human misery, but only in him. In all circumstances, in all sufferings, to make all that I go through, to make them like many divine conquests. So everything that we go through by saying fiat in everything that we think, say, and do, it's a new beginning. It's not to have any of the human involved. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to enter into this life. So we have to sacrifice our human will. We have to make sure that it doesn't have life. We have to make sure that we will never use it again. We've got to make sure that it has nothing to do with us. And so right now, and God will test us. And what is the test? It's to see whether or not we become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative with whether or not we sin. And that's our test. It's a constant test until we reach the point that Luisa had, and that's to live in the peace and the joy and the happiness of God. The soul who lives in our most holy divine will finds divine life in the acts that she does, because they're the acts of Jesus. As always in this life, she finds divine operating, divine conquering, the divine triumphant will of God. It's not human. And that's what God's waiting for. He's given us the book of heaven so that we can read, study, and put this into practice. Why? So that we can begin to live this life. It's nothing less, it's nothing short than the life, the light, the love of God. And that's why it says, the soul who lives in our divine will finds divine life that she does in her acts, because they are the acts of Jesus. And this life, the soul finds the divine operating, the divine conquering, the divine triumphant will. It's not human. See, the fallen human nature is where we are right now, and God is tired of that. So he says we have to receive the nature that God originally breathed into Adam, that human nature that Our Lady lived, the human nature that Jesus lived. And it had nothing to do with the human will. It only had to do with the divine will of God. Until Adam sinned, he was perfectly happy. And that's what God is calling us back to. He's calling us back to our origin, back to the way he originally planned for us to live. So Jesus says that this soul gives triune God, it should be a capital U there, gives us, triune God, so much glory that heaven cannot contain it. It's greater than heaven. Now, how can it be greater than heaven? Because heaven is not yet perfect. Why? Why isn't heaven? Because you need a body and a soul. And there's only two bodies in heaven. And that's Jesus and Mary. The assumed body of Mary, the ascended body of Christ, glorified. So therefore, when a soul on earth is doing it, it's doing this with, in, through, and for Jesus and Mary, as Jesus and Mary are doing everything with, in, through, and for this soul. So therefore, it's more glory in heaven. Heaven can't contain it. It's the infinity of God that this soul is entering into. Now, this is so amazing that that's why Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard of the glory that God is going to give to those who love him. To love him isn't humanly. To love him is to love him divinely. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. Therefore, live always in our most holy divine will. Never leave the holy divine will if you want to be God's triumph and God's glory. If you want to be our triumph and our glory, Jesus says, never leave the divine will. Always live in the divine will. Always be focused on the divine will. This is why it's so important that you're constantly saying, I want to do this in the divine will. You are making sure that it's not just a lost thing that you were doing, but it becomes the glory of God, the triumph of God, as we do these acts, because Jesus is doing them in us. It's not us. We can't do a divine act, but it's Jesus in us that's doing it. So our Lord is looking at us. He's asking us to really begin to live an abundant life that has never been seen before, an abundant life that God is waiting for us to live. This is what Adam lived. This is what Louisa lived. This is what our Lord lived. This is what Our Lady lived. And now they want to give this to us. So it's you have to be attentive to everything that you think, say, and do. Volume 36, 425, 1938. The soul who lives in our divine will is really like a continuous feast for us, triune God, the pouring out of our divine love. So here, this feast, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is going to be like a wedding feast, a wedding celebration. This life that our God wants with us is an intimate life, collectively with the whole church, but also individually. And Jesus says to Louisa, it would be as if each person had their own personal God, their own personal Jesus. And he has created us individually, with, you know, different irises and different fingerprints and different, you know, sizes and shapes. Why? Because he loves our uniqueness. Each one of us thinks differently. This is why a lot of times when we try to communicate with one another, there's confusion. It's because you might say a word that you understand from your perspective, and another person can understand the same word from a completely different perspective from the way they understand it. And yet, God is going to bring us to begin to speak to one another in a divine manner. The word we're going to understand from one point of view, from a divine perspective. And that's what God's waiting for, too. He's waiting for us to live in God's holy divine will so that God can have this continuous feast. And what is this feast? It's the pouring out of divine love upon each and every one of us. So then he added with a note of sadness, "My daughter, how the creature sinks to the bottom, and when she does not live in our most holy divine will." And again, it's like drowning, dying, sinks to the bottom. "Even if she does a good, she's lacking the light of our most holy divine will. She's lacking the strength of our divine sanctity. She's lacking the effects. And this good remains covered by smoke, blinding and producing self-esteem, pride, love of self." And he says it remains poisoned, unable to produce any real benefit for anybody. So God is looking at us and he's saying, this has got to stop. He says, I don't want this life anymore. I don't want you to be good and holy and saintly outside the divine will. I want you to do everything in the divine will. The soul who lives in our divine will, he keeps on saying, the soul who does not live in our divine will, even if she does good, saintly, good and holy things, it's not divine sanctity. It's not divine goodness. The good remains covered by smoke, blinding and producing self-esteem, pride, self-love. It remains poisoned, unable to produce any real benefit for anybody. This is why our families are so far from God, because God's waiting for us to live in the divine will so that they can receive the benefits from it. So the more that we live in the divine will, the more that we focus on living in the divine will, the sooner our families are going to be in heaven while on earth. And that's what God has planned. So he says this, "Poor good works without my most holy divine will. They are like bells with no sound, coins without the image of the king, and have no value as money. At the most, they turn into self-satisfaction." Many times Jesus says, "I am forced for love of creatures to embitter the good that they do, so that they enter themselves and try to operate truly and generously." Okay, so you look at the lives of the saints. A lot of the saints, had to suffer greatly through prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. And the reason is because they were doing the will of God, but not living in the will of God. So God is saying to us, if you're not being directed by me completely in the will of God, then there will be, embitterment that you're going to go through. And even in the good things that you do, because you have to truly, as he says, try to truly operate generously, and that is to live in the divine will, not just doing the will of God. On the other hand, for the one who lives in our divine will, there is no danger that the smoke of self-esteem may enter even the greatest works that she may do. She is the little flame fed by the great light that is God, and the light knows how to get rid of the darkness of the passion, the smoke of self-esteem. So here, we are, again, little. Father Bucci says, to live in the divine will, you have to be little. You have to live in your nothingness, your littleness, and to be hidden, and to be little, and to be insignificant. The more that we can accomplish this, the happier we're going to be. Why? You're a little flame. You're not a big star. You're a tiny little flame fed by the great light that is God. God is doing this in you. It's nothing that we are doing. We want to live in our nothingness so that God can reign. And being light, she really knows all the good that she's done is done by God himself. Okay, the light knows how to get rid of the darkness of the passions, the smoke of self-esteem. Operating within her, Jesus says, her nothingness. And if this nothingness has not been completely emptied of all that does not belong to God, God shall not descend into it to make great works worthy of God. Now, this is, again, this is the second step. You have to empty yourself of your human will. And that's why I said you kill it, slit its throat. Then you drain the blood out of it. I mean, you really have this. You really have to look at this from a divine perspective. You do not want your human will to have any life in you. And then you tie it. You offer it back to God. You tie it to the throne of God. Never, ever to use it again. I will never use it again. And then you have to begin to learn how to live the peace, the joy, the happiness of God. You have to, again, this nothingness has not been completely emptied. If that does not, I'm going to read it wrong. And if this emptiness has not been completely emptied, there can be no life in it. You know, picture draining the blood out of a pig that's been sacrificed. Empty all that does not belong to God. God then shall not descend into that soul to make the great works worthy of him. And he said to Louisa, he wants to make of us, each of us, a divine masterpiece. This is the divine works, the great works that God wants to do in us. But again, the human will can't be there. And it's not just, well, I'm not doing my will. It's not, I'm not going to offer it up. No, it's got to die. It's got to be sacrificed. It's got to be emptied. I mean, you have to look at this seriously as a sacrifice. If you've ever, I mean, that's one most of us haven't really, shot or killed an animal. But you got to drain the blood out of it. You can't have any of that in it. This is what Jesus is asking of us to do to our human will. And again, it's a terrible analogy, but this is what God is looking for. Can you sacrifice your human will? What is your human will? It's everything that you say when you go to confession. That has to end. That has to stop. That has to die. And that's what God's waiting for. Otherwise, he says, God cannot, shall not, will not descend into the soul to make the great work of creating his divine masterpiece of each and every one of us. He can't do it because it's still alive. Therefore, not even humility can enter our most holy divine will. Only nothingness, the nothingness that Louisa possessed. Knowing to be nothing. That's what we have to do. We are nothing. If you get a pat on the back, it's defeating the purpose of nothingness. The only thing we want is our nothingness. We don't want anything of our human to be alive. We want the human will not to be living so that God's holy divine will can reign in us. And so therefore, the only thing we rejoice in is in God. The only thing we're happy about is the life of God. So we have to look at our confessions and, you go through your life with a fine-tooth comb. And all that has to end. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying completely empty of all that does not belong to the holy will of God. Therefore, not even humility can enter our most holy divine will. Only nothingness, knowing to be nothing. We are nothing. God is everything. And you wake up in the morning and it's fiat. You whatever you're doing, it's fiat. It's all for the glory of God. All for, to give God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. So again, what God is trying to do is he's trying to help us focus on the life that Jesus lived. Jesus never did anything for himself. He did it all for the glory of the Father. Our Lady never did anything for herself. She's the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. She never did anything for herself. And see, that's what we got to begin to live. We have to begin to live this this life of our nothingness. All the good that enters the divine will is only divine work. God who brings God. See, human is not what God wants. He created humans so that the humans could share in divinity. He breathed the Ruach of God, the breath of God, in Adam. Why? So Adam could possess the life of God, image and likeness of God. It's Adam is not a God, but it's God who brings God. It's God who is doing this. So when I hear a soul saying, "Well, I'm going to do my rounds today," they have no idea what you're talking about. Your rounds. What are your rounds? You know, it's to look at the heavens as Jesus gazed at the heavens. Jesus gazed at my gazing to give the Father all the glory, all the love, all the power, all the praise that you, Jesus, did for the glory of the Father. It's nothing to do with me. I want you, Jesus, to reign in me, to gaze at my gazing, to listen to my listening, speak in my speaking. I want you, Jesus, to do this for the glory, so that you can give to the Father the glory that the Father so rightly deserves. It's not a human praise. It's not a human love. In my will, Jesus says, everything changes for the soul. Everything changes. The soul is nothing other than the little light that has to be absorbed as much as she can, the great light of my fiat. Okay, so God wants us to be that drop of water into the infinite ocean of the divine will, the infinite ocean of the divine love of God, the infinite ocean of the divine light of God, the infinite ocean of the divine life of God. We enter into this as nothing, and then we participate in everything. Yeah, that's what God is doing. She is nothing other than the little light that has to absorb as much as the soul can possibly do, the great light of my fiat, so that she may be fed only by light. She may be fed only by love. She may be fed only by divine goodness and divine sanctity. See, God wants to be fed. He wants to feed us, but he wants to be fed by us, by the things that we allow him to do in us, because God only is satisfied with divine love, divine joy, divine peace, divine happiness. It's nothing human. He didn't create humans to enjoy humanity. He created humans so humans could enjoy divinity. What an honor to be fed by God. So it is no wonder that being the soul, the creature, the little flame of God, he, God, also feeds himself with this little flame. So God wants us to be fed by him, and God wants us to feed him. He wants to feed us with himself, and he wants us to feed him with himself. And we become that nothing that God can use by getting out of the way and giving to God what belongs to God. God deserves all the glory, all the praise that Jesus gives to the Father, that Jesus gives to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gives to the Father, the Holy Spirit gives to Jesus, that the Father gives to Jesus what the Father gives to the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants us to participate in. Not human. It's divine. And that's why when the priest says this every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. We have to, at that point, say to Jesus, I want this. I long for this. This is what I want to possess. I want nothing less than what you, God, want. So, again, our God is waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. So, volume 36, 5:10, 1938. And then Jesus added with a more tender note, daughter of my pains, would you like to know who does not give me such hard suffering? It is the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. Okay, so when we are one with Christ in the great gift of the divine will, one with Our Lady in this great gift, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit with this great gift, through Louisa, it soothes God. Remember what he says in volume 13, the children of the divine will bring soothing to the church. The children of the divine will bring healing to the church. Well, what does this mean? It means just what Jesus is saying here. He says, daughter of my pains, do you know who does not give me such a hard suffering? It's the soul who lives in my divine will. And that has to become us. So in our sufferings, and all of us suffer, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, all of us are suffering to a greater or lesser degree to the person next to us. It's fiat. Everything is fiat. Whatever you want is what I want. Whatever you ask, Lord, it's fiat. Further, as she decides to live in it, this, again, a firm resolution to decide to live in the divine will. Jesus says, name her my daughter. And each and every one of us becomes the son or daughter of God. Each and every one of us begins to be called by Jesus himself. When we decide to live in the divine will, and the deciding to live in the divine will is continuous. It's from you when you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient acts, your actual acts throughout the day. It's constantly saying yes to God, constantly saying, whether, you know, you're late for an appointment, it's fiat, or, you know, you stub your toe, it's fiat. It's always deciding yes to God. It's always that fiat. I, God, call the whole of heaven and the most holy Trinity to celebrate my new daughter. And it's the same thing with us, the new sons. It's new sons and daughters. I call all of heaven to celebrate. Again, you're getting back to that wedding feast that Jesus says heaven is all about. He says, I call the whole of heaven, the most holy Trinity, to celebrate my new daughter. Everybody knows her because I, God, write her name with indelible characters inside my sacred heart, my ever-burning love, my daughter, my son. And this is what God is doing. He's waiting for us to make that yes to God continuously, to decide to live in the divine will. He's waiting for us to do this, and he's asking us to do this continuously. It's not just once. It's every heartbeat, every breath. My daughter, she remains always with me in my most holy divine will, and anything I do, she does. Do you see? Jesus breathed in my breathing. Everything that Jesus is doing, we're doing. Jesus breathed in my heart beating. Everything that God does, we do. Jesus walk in my walking. Everything that God does, we are doing. It's one with him. He says, she rises again with me in my continuous resurrections. And if my human ingratitude makes me cry, I write her, daughter of my birth. She cries with me. So I write even in my tears, daughter of my tears. In some, if I suffer, or if I work or walk, I write, daughter of my pains, daughter of my work, daughter of my steps. I keep her impressed in me everywhere. So we see that what God is waiting for, he's really waiting for us to call upon him continuously. It's come divine will. Come divine will. And everything that you think, say, and do, you answer the phone, come divine will, talk in my talking. You take a walk, come divine will, walk in my walking. You want Jesus to be walking in our walking. We want Jesus to reign in us. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're asking for. Never to be separated from God. That's what he says. I don't want you to ever be separated from me. Always call upon the divine will. So again, we have to discipline ourselves to do this continuously. And it has to be our longing that we want this. Why? Because this is what Jesus is asking of us. He says, I'm waiting for you to do this. Luis has done this. Do you want to do this? So the more that we read, and again, I always stress the calendar. When you read the calendar every day, great things are around the corner. Magnificent things are around the corner. Why? Because Jesus is there. And he's calling us. He's asking us to do this. Again, I keep her impressed in me everywhere and in everything. Whether you stub your toe or you're eating ice cream, you're always with Jesus. Jesus, eat in my eating. Laugh in my laughing, dance in my dancing. You want Jesus always there. This intimacy with Jesus is how we have to live in the divine will. And then he says, now you must know. Now this is very, very important. You must know. This is a command from Jesus Christ. You have to know this. You must know this. And when you read the You Must Know book and read it again and again, he's filling us with divine truths. This is what I want you to begin to understand. This life that Jesus wants us to have. He says, you must know that between the Father and the child, there are permanent bonds. Okay, so if we are truly trying to be children of God, if we're truly trying to be little children of the most holy divine will, he says there's a permanent bond between us and the Father. Nobody can deny the rights of the Father, and nobody can deny the rights of the child, either in the supernatural or in the natural order. So we see that what God is calling us to, he did not call the saints to. The saints did not have this opportunity. Why? They didn't have Louisa. They didn't know this, that this is what Jesus wanted. Jesus dictated this to Louisa so that we can know what he wants. If this is what God wants. He says, "There's, you have a permanent bond with the Father, Heavenly Father. We have a permanent bond with him. No one can deny the rights of the Father. No one can deny the rights of the child, either in the supernatural order or in the natural order. Therefore, as a father, Jesus says, I feel the obligation to make heir of my goods, heir of my love, heir of my divine sanctity, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, the one who so solemnly declared herself to be my daughter, to the extent that I, Jesus, keep her written in my heart, my sacred heart. We belong to Jesus. He is sealing us with his signature. We belong to him. And we have to begin to understand this. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is why we spend time meditating on Christ crucified. This is why we go to Holy Eucharist. This is why we pray the Holy Rosary. This is why we read the writings. We belong to Jesus Christ more than the saints. I mean, this is what he's saying. He did not give this to the saints. And it's not saying that we're better than the saints. No, it's time. Just like Moses never received the sacraments. It wasn't time. King David didn't receive the sacraments. Why? It wasn't time. But now Jesus is giving to us his great gift of the divine will. Why? Now is the time. Father Bucci said that so clearly. He said, St. Francis was for his time. St. Thomas Aquinas was for his time. Louisa is for our time. The more that we study this, the more that we understand what Jesus is asking, the more we surrender to him, the more we desire what Jesus desires in these writings, the more, this quicker it's going to happen. The kingdom is going to be on earth as it is in heaven, in us first. So he says very clearly, not loving her would be like defrauding my paternal love. Not loving Louisa. Not loving us linked to Louisa would be like defrauding my paternal love. I, Jesus, just can't. She then has the duty, see, the duty and obligation to divinely love me, divinely possess my goods, and to defend her father, to make him known. And who do we make him known to? It's to ourselves. We want Jesus to use our senses. Jesus, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, walk in my walking. We want Jesus to reign in us. It's our duty to love Jesus divinely, to possess divinely his goods, not just in a holy and a saintly way, to defend Jesus, her father, to make Jesus known. And again, that's one of the titles of Jesus, Jesus, Father of the Age to Come, to give, even to give her life so that nobody may offend him. We have to truly begin to live this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He needs us to begin to live this abundant life. So volume 36, 6:26, 1938. Furthermore, for the one who lives in our divine will, each motion, each breath, each heartbeat, anything that the soul does or can do, are continuous conquests for her, divine conquests. And I can say that by living in my most holy divine will, the soul breathes with my breathing. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. The soul moves with my motion. The soul beats with an eternal heartbeat. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Therefore, she acquires the conquering act in each of her human acts. Come, divine will, come reign in me. I don't want to do this humanly anymore. I want to do this divinely. All of this is given to her with justice and exuberant love, since by living in her most holy divine will, not giving life to her human will anymore, she has to be in the celestial region by right. It belongs to us to delight and to enjoy our delightful most holy divine will. Heaven is ours. We have to begin to live heaven. Now, in order to live off of our divine will on earth, the poor daughter deprives herself of the divine joys of heaven, and this is the most heroic act, the most intense love by which all of heaven, our divinity, and the Queen of Heaven remain wounded by this love. And we love the heroism of Louisa. Oh, how much all of us love Louisa. And again, it gives us a clue of how we should be loving Louisa. If all of heaven loves Louisa, if Jesus loves Louisa, how much do we love Louisa? So our divine love, Jesus says, that lets itself be won by anyone, surrenders to each of her breaths, to each of her little motions. God surrenders to her. Why? He can reign in her. He can breathe in her breathing, beat in her heart beating. And that says to us, we have to learn from Louisa how to do this. Constantly. If she thinks, she looks, she speaks, it is a conquering divine act, a conquering, and the conquests are innumerable. And we feel that it is not Louisa who breathes anew, but we, the triune God ourselves, giving the value of that our breath and our motion contain, which is the highest that could possibly be conceived. Do you see what God is doing? This isn't good or holy or saintly, it's divine. Therefore, this creature, Louisa Picaretta, and hopefully us linked to Louisa, is the conqueror of our divine life, the conqueror of our divine acts. This happy creature, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa, with her conquering act becomes our continuous expression of divine love, of our very divine happiness, of our divine rest. Louisa's conquests are continuous seals on our divine decree of the coming of the kingdom of our most holy divine will on earth. Louisa is the one who has done this. And Jesus is saying, it's complete, it's done. He says, now it has to be known. And why does it have to be known? It has to be known first for those who won't live in the divine will, that they will know who has done this, and that's Louisa. And it's for us to know it, who know Louisa, so that we can be linked with Louisa and also accomplish what Louisa has done. 36 or 100-fold, as much as we want or as little as we want. Everybody's going to know Louisa. Everybody. All those that poo-poo Louisa now are going to realize that she is the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. She is the one who takes the place of Adam. Adam, the human Adam, the first Adam. And everything will be repaired. Everything will be redone. Why? It will look as if Adam never sinned. Everything's going to be restored. Heaven is coming to earth. We're going to live the life that God originally planned for Adam. Image and likeness to do what God does. That's what God's waiting for. And who is he giving it to? He's given us the books of heaven. And he says, read. He's constantly saying, the truths change you. The truths are divine lives which change you, transmute you. So that's why, you know, I keep on stressing the calendar. Read the calendar every day. Every day. Make it a priority in your life. That's part of the six steps that Louisa... are they to gave to Louisa? The divine will must become the priority of our life. It has to take the primary place of everything that we think, say, and do. That's what God's waiting for. These conquests shorten the time. Soon the kingdom's coming. Soon. You have to understand that. It's not 1,000 years from now. Because this is out, because people are reading the divine will, because people are trying to live in the divine will, it's going to happen sooner. Even more, our operating life is not a stranger on earth anymore. It already exists, having formed its kingdom in Louisa, this very, very lucky soul, creature. God has got great, great plans, and he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to begin to understand that this is not a devotional thing. It's not something that you do. It's something that you live. And it completely changes you. It completely transmutes you inside and out. So God's waiting for us to do it. Nobody, your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. Nobody wants this. Jesus has given you the books, the book of heaven, and he's waiting for you to say, I want to live this life. I want to destroy. I want to kill. I want to eliminate, I want to sacrifice my human will. I mean, you have to look at it as I want this dead. I don't want it to have any more life in it. You have to look at it as the only way you're going to do this, Jesus says, and if this isn't done, he says, I can't make of each and every one of us a divine masterpiece as he's planned. He will not interfere with our freedom. So he looks at us and he says, you know, read this, study this, put this into practice. The more that you read, the more that you understand this, the more that you will possess it. That's what God's waiting for. That's what God's longing for. He's longing for us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says very clearly, therefore be attentive. He says you can possess this just like Louisa if you want. Be attentive. Never stop. Always keep on saying, come divine will. In everything that you think, say, and do, always say fiat. In everything that you think, say, and do. And I shall take everything into account, even your breath, to love you more and to make you do many divine conquests, one more beautiful than the other. So this is not about being human. It's not about being saintly. It's not about being good and holy. It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, to begin to have the divine conquest, Jesus says, to have heaven reign on earth in us, this dust, this earth, as the saints possess God in heaven. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. And the only one that can get in the way is ourself. The only one that can stop this is ourself. And we stop it by sloth. We stop it by worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's to constantly go back, constantly talk to Jesus, listen to Jesus. He's speaking to us as we read. He's coming through maybe not our ears, But he's speaking to us through our senses as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. God's got great plans. He needs us to do it. He says, I can't trust anybody else. Everybody's doing their own thing. The bishops, the priests, the deacons, the nuns, they're all doing their own thing. He said, who will want to do what I want? Who will want to do what I gave to Louisa? And hopefully that's us. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.